You're listening to Juno Afternoon. I'm your host, Shelley Delaney. Impossible Life was written by a mother-daughter team, Sonia Wasden. Hello, Sonia.
Hello.
And her daughter, Rachel. Hi, Rachel.
Hi.
And they hope to make donations of their book to libraries in all 50 states, including the Juno Public Library. Sonia, you've told your story many times in interviews, and you've written a book about it. What is The Impossible Life?
Well, I felt like I was living an impossible life. I was suffering from a mental illness and had hid it for over 20 years because of the stigma and wasn't getting the help that I desperately needed. I bought into a lot of the stigmas of mental health because it runs through my family, my dad, my cousins, my grandpa, and I just didn't want to be called crazy. Nobody wants to belong to a group called crazy. So I just told myself that I'm living an ideal life. I was married to the hospital CEO, attending charity events, 3 healthy children, beautiful home, but yet it felt like I was walking on broken glass and my marriage was hanging on by a thread.
What was it that made you want to put this down in a book? What motivated you to write down your story?
After my attempted suicide, I was taken to the hospital where my husband was CEO, and a leading psychiatrist there told him, "Do not bring her back to this hospital again. Take her where people don't know you." And I remember having just this feeling inside of me of going, I'm tired of being a hidden secret. And it kind of felt like I just was done, and I wanted to come forward and stand with the mentally ill and break stigmas and do something good with all this pain that I had been going through. I wanted to contribute to the conversation and try to help people who have mental illnesses and those who love them.
How has your book been received so far by critics and by readers?
Actually, that's been a really rewarding part. We've had like a psychiatric nurse told me, she goes, "I will never look at my patients the same way." I had a young woman say, "I have a sister that's bipolar. I better understand her because of your book." And I've had people who with mental illness say, "I just couldn't explain how I was feeling inside. So I just handed my family all your book and said, this is how I feel." So yeah, it's been very rewarding.
Do you feel as if women's stories about struggling with mental health are as well represented in mainstream media and research and healthcare as men's?
I would feel like, I don't know the statistics on that, but I feel like they're equally as important. I think men and women, I think I see a lot of men coming more forward in the sports arena, and I really love it. And so a lot of times men feel like, oh, I can't share my feelings. So I think, I don't know statistically, but I think for a lot of men, it might be harder to come forward because they're supposed to be tough and all okay. But like I said, I've been seeing a lot in mainstream media, a lot of celebrities and other people coming forward and talking about it that are men. And I think that's wonderful.
You mentioned that you did not want to be called crazy, that nobody does. And, you know, as a woman, I really relate to that. That really resonates with me. Can you say more about what was important about not only winning the battle with your illness, but also defeating the stigma?
You know, it was funny. It was a lot easier. You know, once I got my diagnosis as bipolar, obsessive compulsive disorder, and panic disorder, you know, stigmas take on a whole new meaning. And it was easy for me to stop stigmatizing others, but it was very hard to stop stigmatizing myself. And I realized there's millions of people out there with illnesses, and they don't go around saying, "I am cancer, I am heart disease," but we say, "I am bipolar," when I am so much more than my mental illness. And so for me, I had to dig deep and decide a more empowering identity is just, I am Sonia.
Rachel, turning to you now, what was your hope in helping to write this book with your mom? Was it to support her telling her story or sharing your own perspective or telling your own story as well?
I feel like growing up, I also felt the stigma of having to hide my mom's mental illness, whether from friends or school teachers, things like that. I just felt like it was something that couldn't be well received because it couldn't be familiar to them. I thought I was alone in having a mom that struggled with those types of things. So writing this book with her has been really, really healing, because at 16, I found my mom's suicide note, and I thought it was really selfish of her to want to leave me and my family. I felt like that was a trial that I didn't understand how to handle. But now that I've written this book with her and we're, you know, breaking stigma and we're shedding light on what she really went through, I realized she didn't want to leave me and my family. She just wanted to leave the pain she was in. Mm.
Sonia, you had shared in an interview that you were forced into treatment for your illness by your loved ones, that you did not go willingly. And that seems pretty scary to me, but you said that perhaps it was a turning point, maybe even a lifesaver for you. What's your opinion about how that unfolded in your life?
Yes, it was terrifying. I was at that point, I was still not wanting to accept I had a mental illness. And, you know, I was getting sicker and sicker. And I had kind of deluded myself into believing everybody wanted to die. Even though I had strong suicidal feelings and urges, I just kind of started becoming a little delusional that everyone wants to die. Everyone thinks about suicide. And my husband and my father took me to the ER, and the doctors talked to me, and they realized I was a danger to myself. And so, yes, I had two security guards walk me out. I got into a van and went to the psych ward, and it was terrifying, not just because I didn't know what was going to happen there, but also because I still had that stigma of, oh, they are crazy, and I didn't want to belong to a group that was crazy. And I just was very terrified of what was going to happen there. And that is where I got diagnosed. And that is where I had to face my greatest fear of realizing I do have a mental illness. I have the bipolar disorder. And now what, right? Now what am I going to do?
And then what did you do?
I started taking medication. I started doing therapy. It's not like overnight. I think all of us sometimes think we can just make a change just real quick overnight. It took years for me to, you know, accept the illness. It's taken me years to get skills. I've done every type of therapy that's out there. And you just have to keep fighting and believing that you can learn how to manage this illness. And today I can say I have a beautiful life. And I am managing the illness, and it is possible. I want those who have mental illness and family members that have someone that's mentally ill. I know it is hard. It takes patience. It takes grit. But they can get to the other side of a life worth living. I mean, if I can do it, anyone can do it.
What is your motivation for doing that constant daily, minute to minute, hour to hour work of maintaining your health? I know it's not as easy as just taking a pill or seeing a therapist once a week or twice a week.
No, it's not. It's still something that I manage. I would say I had a therapist tell me, she was a wise therapist. She said, Sonia, you can stay in bed all day in pain, or you can choose to mostly get out of bed and create a life worth living with the pain. And once I realized, okay, I have this illness and I'm going to have pain with it. And then she also did point out to me, there's millions of people with illnesses they don't want, besides mental illnesses, physical illnesses, disabilities that they are dealing with. And you see a lot of them achieving a life and doing it despite those handicaps and disabilities. And so I decided I wanted to be one of those people. I wanted a life. I wanted a life worth living with purpose and meaning. I didn't want to just stay in my bed suffering. I had done that for years. And it takes courage. It takes courage.
Oh, I'm sure that it does. But I think that what you said really resonates. It's you know what's going to happen if you go down one road. You don't know what's going to happen if you go down the other. So it's a reason to maybe choose the other way. Rachel, what was it like for you when your mom went into treatment and it started down this road to recovery and all that? How old were you at the time, and what did you feel when you were watching her go through this?
When she got admitted to the psych ward, I think I was around 12 or 13 years old. And I remember I didn't know anything other than my mom being sick. It was just kind of our normal. And so when she started taking medicine or getting therapy and we saw changes in her behavior, I was really kind of shook. I was like, oh my gosh, the mom I've known maybe was more symptoms of an illness than it was her personality at times. So it was kind of exciting to get to know parts of her that were otherwise masked by being bedridden or, you know, by just her extreme mania. And obviously both of those things still are in her diagnosis. She still has depression and anxiety, but because she manages it so much better now, it's a lot easier to have a relationship.
I'm so pleased that your relationship did survive and that things are, that you're having some success with this book. So just as important as this, the story of how the book Impossible Life came to be is this effort that you are making to donate the book to libraries across the United States. Tell us about that, Sonia.
Well, we decided that we wanted to make a difference, and libraries are the heart of the communities. And so we decided, we came up with our slogan, our campaign of raising mental health awareness, one local library at a time. And we said, let's go to all 50 states and donate books in each state and meet with mental health advocacy groups, government officials, businesses, organizations, individuals, and just talk about mental health and the importance of it. So it's been quite the journey. And we're super, super excited. And you are our, I believe, our 44th state.
Did you expect to get such a big reaction to your book and your efforts to donate books to the libraries? I mean, what was it like to be interviewed on CBS?
Oh, a dream come true, right? It was amazing. And the CBS this morning, they were so kind to us and professional and really did a fabulous job. And it was really rewarding that we did this campaign and CBS this morning interviewed us. Of course, it was a great opportunity. And they have a campaign of Stop the Stigma, which I really appreciate. Anybody out there doing any type of mental health advocacy group, of course, it touches my family. So I am always very touched when they do. So I love that CBS this morning is highlighting different stories to their slogan is Break the Stigma. So I love when organizations and news outlets and people are doing that. It's very awesome.
Rachel, would you add anything to that?
I would just say it's been really humbling to see that people care. I mean, we kind of just thought, okay, we'll get in our car and make our book available to people. And then people cared about that and they wanted to interview us and they wanted to talk about it and shed light on it. So that's been really exciting because it helps get the message out there even faster.
Yeah. So I'm sure with the pandemic happening and what you're trying to do in the midst of that, there were some restrictions, but do you have any really memorable experiences about meeting folks in the libraries where you donated your books?
I actually do have one. This was actually in New York. I met a woman who has two children with severe mental illness. And she got to sit and we talked about it, and I don't want to get emotional, but I can't share her private information, but it was very difficult what she has been through. And we talked and it was very neat to have a conversation where her and I could relate. And she could also see there's hope for her children, that she saw that I have come through the other end and that there's hope for her children. And another experience that was really fascinating was I was at the airport actually, and I was getting something to eat, and a woman next to me goes, I saw you on TV this morning. She goes, I can't understand how anyone would want to take their life. And so her and I sat down and we had a conversation about suicide. And as long as suicide kills conversations, people are going to die. And so this woman and I sat and talked about this, of just understanding, how does that feel? What does that feel like? And we connected and she was like, oh my gosh, thank you so much. And so it's experiences like that. It's even reaching out to people who don't understand mental illness at all. Pick up my book and read it. And then you'll have greater understanding for what other people in this earth life is experiencing.
How about you, Rachel? Any memorable moments from the book donation tour?
Oh yeah. I've had lots of people email me after we've been interviewed and just say, oh my gosh, I thought I was alone. I thought, you know, that my relationship with my bipolar dad was just like this because that's just how he was. He's eccentric. I didn't realize there's a diagnosis that, you know, puts a lot of symptoms to that and that there's a way to get help, because we advocate for family therapy, not just the person who has the illness should get therapy, but I think the whole family should learn how to manage that, because if you're not a trained therapist, I mean, you don't know how to navigate a lot of these heavy topics. And so it's great to talk to people that, you know, there's ways to build really amazing functioning relationships with close family members or friends that you otherwise thought you couldn't.
Well, you had said that Alaska is now checked off your list. It was the 44th state where you were able to donate your books to the libraries. You haven't yet been up here to visit us, but I hope that you will someday. Tell me a little bit about what it was like to connect with some of these libraries up here, and where around the state might we find your book?
Yeah, the Juneau, well, you have several libraries there. And so the process is we donated them. And when you donate a book to a library, then it goes to the collections. And then they look over your book and they decide if they're going to add it to the collections or not. And so nevertheless, if they do or don't, they'll have a book sell and they will sell it and use that money for other things. But typically they do add our books into your collections. But we've mailed them out, we have talked to them, and now it will go through a process of getting into the collections. So that's the other thing we learned about donating books to the library. It's not just as simple as, oh, here's the book, and you donate it, and it just goes right into collections. They have their processes too, but they sure are grateful for any book donations, I will tell you that.
That's great. And how about Anchorage or Fairbanks? Were you able to get your book in libraries up there yet?
Not Fairbanks, but Anchorage, we did mail some to, yes, but we haven't mailed any into Fairbanks.
Oh, that's fantastic. So, only six or so states left to go. How's the progress coming along with those?
Well, we just started back up because of COVID. And so, it's going well. We did one of our interviews, live at the library with masks. And so, and then we've also done one Zoom, and now we're doing one radio. So it's been a little different after COVID, but we want to finish up. We only had seven states left, and COVID's been going on. And just as things started opening up, we've reached out, and, you know, there's even some libraries that aren't taking collections yet. You know, they're not taking any book donations yet. And then there are ones that are. So it's been a little more complicated. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Well, I love your story. It's been so interesting to talk to you both today. I'm very much looking forward to checking out a copy of Impossible Life. Sonia Wasden and her daughter, Rachel, co-authored the book Impossible Life, and it's available at Juneau Public Libraries. Is there anything else you'd like to share with our listeners before we say goodbye? Sonia, I'll start with you.
Oh, I just want to say to anyone out there who is struggling with your mental health to go get help. There is help out there. And that you will come out the other side. And I love to live by the slogan, you won't always feel like this, that it will pass and that there will be great times and joy ahead. And just to stick in there and you can do it.
And Rachel, how about you?
I was just going to say that obviously I echo everything my mom just said, a total message of hope. And then if anyone would like to get the book before the process of the library gets done, they can go on Amazon and get a copy. So if they're more eager, they can do that.
That sounds great. Well, thank you both so much for speaking with me today. And I do hope you get to come up and see your book in one of our public libraries here in Juneau someday.
Oh, thank you. Thank you for having us.
Thanks so much for being here.